This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:05. You are with Kelvin and Cam on the Evening Edition. We are now moving on to our next story, which is about spending on pet care. So this story comes from The Economist, where it had a list of countries that spent the most on pet care. The top three countries are the US, Britain, and France. In the US, the average person spends a little above $150.
So according to Euromonitor International, the pet care market has grown by 66% in the last decade, while the global economy has expanded by just 43%. Americans spent more than $52 billion US dollars on their pets in 2019, up from $34 billion in 2009. We're talking in billions here.
So I think this is likely just a result from people having just a bit more disposable income, and that's why we're spending just a bit more on pets, right? You know, we are buying perhaps better toys, we are buying better food to help with their nutrition, and also maybe investing into pet hotels rather, when you have to go away, when you can't really quite afford a pet sitter, or you have no one else to take care of your pet while you're gone.
We just adopted a cat actually in July. So I think Euromonitor International might be revisiting the amount of money that they've discovered has been spent by pet owners, because the amount of money has been spent has increased since July of last year. I think there are many stories going on here. One is that you said disposable income. Mm-hmm. You also have perhaps some people are not having children.
Yeah.
People are not even getting coupled up, but wanting some company. And there has been also a story told about a kind of infantilization of people in general. Mm-hmm. And so as they grow up, they wish to have a creature that they wish to baby.
Right.
So even you might get a dog, the dog gets older and older, but you still treat it like a baby because you are yourself, in a way, a baby. you haven't yourself grown up. So
Freudian, getting that right.
Yeah, well, perhaps. So there are many different, really interesting stories going on here, why this is the case.
For this story, of course, we've decided to speak to someone who has written about the pet care industry and is a huge pet lover himself. We are joined in the studios again by Sean Tanis from the News Desk. Sean,
hello.
Welcome back, and thank you again for being here. So would you say that you're a big spender on your dogs, and where do the bulk of the expenses go?
No, I'm not a big spender, actually. In fact, I'm like the most anti-climatic person to talk about this topic, because I'm the kind of person, when I walk into any pet shop, if I've gone there before, the salesperson wouldn't want to like follow me and try to promote any of the products, because I would have done like a ton of research about anything that I'm going to put into my dog's body whatever it is, whether it's clothes or anything.
Anywhere. Did you say clothes?
Yeah, people do that, but I don't do that.
But no, okay.
Yeah, but I'm very big on nutrition. So if I'm spending a lot of money, I'd make sure that I'm spending on the nutrition, on their diet, because, you know, like over the past decade, like diabetes is up. The rate of diabetes up like 500% among dogs.
Oh.
In the UK alone, research has shown that one in two dogs have cancer today. In fact, of all mammals on the planet, right, dogs have the highest rate of cancer-related deaths. And then we have cats. One in five cats get cancer. And then you see the correlation and ask the question, what's going on? And the question you are asking is that who's feeding these animals? It's us, humans. So then you look at science. So according to science, diet is the most important part of pet care. Mm. And so if I'm spending a lot of money, that's on their diet.
Wow, you've got me frightened now for my cat. but okay, do you hear of owners who spend way more than you're spending at the moment?
Definitely. There are a lot of people who actually spending a lot of money on their pets. And I mean, power to them. I know someone who has like 5 rooms and 1 dog in each room, and they all have their own air-conditioned room in their optimal temperature, because these are imported dogs and they need to be kept in a certain temperature. They can't stand the heat. And then they he plays a certain type of calming music in each of the rooms, depending on the character.
Spotify for pets.
Yeah. So there are definitely a lot of people who are spending more than I do. But it's up to them.
But can I just ask your friend, does he have wife and children or anything? Or?
He has wife and children, yeah.
Family?
Yeah, this and family, yeah. Oh. So
okay.
It's a serious business.
Actually, on that note, it leads me nicely to my next question, because I want to ask how you have seen the industry grow in terms of variety and price range on pet care.
It has grown a lot. If you're talking in Malaysia, it has grown a lot in recent years, because I would say the healthcare sector for pets has grown a lot. That's the biggest sector that has seen, I think, like really exponential growth, because more and more people are aware that they need to vaccinate their pets,
right?
Or you know, take them to the groomers, clean their ears, and if they have an infection, you have to take them to the vet. You can't just like. I've heard this story before, where when I was a kid, so one of my neighbors said like. His dog came back with like scabs, and he said like, what you do is like you spit on the wound, and then you hit it with the slipper, and then it will heal. And I was like really young at that time. Then I was like, because saliva has these healing properties and all that, something like that. But that's because the lack of education,
right?
And now we have internet. People can do research, and then we have like cat groups and dog groups, and
we have vets now.
We have vets.
We didn't have vets before.
That many vets before. Now we have a lot of vets now.
A friend of mine was telling me how back in the 60s he had lots of cats in KL, and one of the cats had something wrong with the tail. It was going septic and everything.
Yeah.
So there were no vets in the 60s, no vets.
Yeah.
So the mother just sort of grabbed the cat, put the tail down, got a chopper, chopped the end off, and put a bit of antiseptic, and it's done. But it's unthinkable now. You'd go to the vet. And so then that can cost you hundreds.
That can cost you hundreds. And you're seeing a lot of people are also doing community work or social work now. They go out there, they rescue pets. Mm. And that's also helping the healthcare sector in terms of when you're talking about pets, right? Mm. But then there are also like other areas which are growing right now, like accommodation. And this is one area that I would really want to see grow in the next few years, like, because this is a big problem, huge problem for pet owners when you are traveling, because you can't travel with your pets to every place. No. And then you have to board them somewhere, and then you're thinking about them, and then they are restless because they're anxious because they're away from you, and you are also anxious and restless thinking of them. But we are trying to find solutions. Like the industry is finding better solutions. Like they have CCTV cameras where you can monitor your pets from your smartphone.
Okay. You also have a lot of auto feeders now. That's becoming a thing.
Yeah, auto feeders and all that. But that if you have a pet at home, and that can only do so much, because you still need to do the cleaning and all if you're traveling. So accommodation, like hotels and pet hotels, or any hotels that allow pets, that would be great.
Sure. Now, Sean, can I ask you, why do you think people are willing to spend so much money on their pets?
Most of the time, it's out of love. I mean, you know, like they look at the fur kids as their family.
I've never heard that before.
You know?
Don't you call your pet cat your fur kid?
No, but I will now.
I think everyone should look at their pets as their family members, because I don't believe in keeping animals as property.
Right.
I used to think I'm a pet owner. Then I realized that I'm not the owner. I am living with my pets, with my animals, and we are coexisting in a space. So, but in recent years, we're also seeing people putting off marriages and putting off plans to have children, and then they are turning to pets to fill in that kind of void. That's also, in some ways, studies have shown that it has caused a dramatic increase in the number of people keeping these pets and also humanizing their pets, right? And sometimes also it's just marketing. It's just marketing because the power of marketing is so underestimated. Because you, like I was talking about clothes, right? So a lot of people are selling unnecessary products to pet owners when they don't actually need them. And big brands are also cashing into all these trends where people are humanizing the pets, and that's where the clothes thing are coming in. And I'm not against, I'm not saying don't put on put clothes on your pets, but be sensible.
Right.
Be sensible. I've seen in many events or cat and dog events, pet events, where in Malaysia in the afternoon, 2 o'clock, 12 o'clock, it is so hot out there. And you have a sweater on your dog, which is probably a golden retriever or a dog that is not, you know, shouldn't even be there on its own in the afternoon. Shouldn't even be there walking in the hot sun because it's so hot, because it's like a long-coated animal. And then you can see them panting and it's so hot. So you, be sensible. Whatever product that you are spending your money on, there's also like things like bowls to make your pet to eat slower, like, for you know, because some of them are big gulpers, they just like pop, they makan, everything is gone, and then the air goes into the stomach as well, and then they get bloated, and then the stomach get twisted, and then they get a lot of health complications. So some we are seeing a lot of solutions as well, products that bring a lot of solutions for healthcare, and some types of feeders where it's elevated from the floor, where large breed dogs, you know, they don't have to, they won't have joint problems in the long run, because you know they are actually going down really way lower eating. But that's also in a natural context. In the wild, if they're in the wild, they'll be probably sat down, holding the prey, and taking their own time to eat. But that doesn't happen with modern food that we are feeding with the kibbles and all that. So they are just eating them like they're eating.
Forget in the wild. I want that thing that makes the cat eat it slower. I want that now.
So
give me the link.
This is my struggle with thinking about owning a pet. And personally, I haven't gotten one yet because I don't feel like I can financially support it, simply because I want my future pet to have the best life possible. It feels like I'm talking about a child, actually. But, you know,
best education.
Best education, best trainer, best quality of food, best healthcare, maybe even a university degree for my pet. But, you know, are finances actually something that you think people should consider before adopting a pet? Or is it possible to keep a pet on a low budget?
Not necessarily. You can actually keep your pet, keep a pet, any pet, like, on a low budget. So there are a lot of solutions online. I do everything DIY, a lot of things DIY. Even the floor cleaners, I make themselves. Make myself. I teach my friends to make themselves, which is like taking fruit peels and then making it into enzyme and then use it as floor wash. But sometimes I think it's also a symbiotic relationship, and where it's also an investment when you're having a pet, right? Because there's a sense of fulfillment, happiness and all these things when you have these pets. And in fact, I mean, scientifically speaking, humans are benefiting from having pets, basically, from this relationship, right? So you want to invest in before you want... it's a 15-10 year project. And it's not a furniture, although they both have fur, but you need to plan ahead, you know. If you look at the Harvard University research, right, it shows that like just petting a dog can lower your blood pressure, your heart rate, you become more mindful and calm. So that symbiotic relationship is there.
Yeah.
And you can't just take your family member for granted, and you have to plan well. So whether you are buying a dog, whether you are adopting a pet, plan ahead. I know adopting a dog is a lot better, and I would encourage that, because if you buy a dog, some people, they might have like 3,000 ringgit to buy a hybrid dog or cat, you know, a pedigree breed dog or cat, but then they wouldn't think the requirements they need. Like for example, when I used to bring, I used to have like a German Shepherd, for example, and I had to buy a fan because in the house when it was hot, you know, because obviously our weather is not suited for that dog at that time. And I didn't think it was fair for him to be seated outside and all that. So sometimes you want to go that extra mile, and you need to think like, what are the circumstances that will force you to do that? You know, so it's not just it's not a very straightforward thing. So I would encourage people to adopt, because then you save a big chunk of that money where you are actually buying a pedigree breed dog or cat, and then you can use that for the nutrition, for the diet, and healthcare, you know?
And the school fees.
And the school fees, and the tuition, and the wedding.
Sean, thank you so much again for joining us. That was Sean Tan on the news desk talking to us about the pet care industry and how it's grown over the years. And again, we'd like to hear from you. If you are a pet owner, do you happen to spend, how much do you spend actually, and what do you spend on? Because, you know, in the US, for example, they spend about, per user, it's about $150. You can send us messages to 018-789-8899 through WhatsApp. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also call 7733-2900. We have this message here from Haley that says, "Furry pets are money and fad consumers. In the end, I settled on a yellow leopard gecko I call Blue. He costs about 50 to 100 ringgit per month, mostly spent on variety of nutritious food, simple addition like hammocks, and upkeeping his space and den."
That's more money than I would expected a gecko to be costing to maintain, but still. But I had a big expense issue the other day. There's a bag of kitty litter.
Right.
It cost 81 ringgit. Kitty litter lasts about a month.
Okay.
81 ringgit. And I was seriously thinking, well, if little Bootsy, you know, he deserves the best. And I was really tempted to get it. But it's like, come on, 81 ringgit for something that is literally going to get thrown away.
Did you get it?
No, I didn't. I got the cheap one.
Boots will hear about this.
I know, and he's listening right now, I'm sure.
Right. On that note, you can again call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're headed to the 7:30 news, which we'll come back right after to wrap up some of the biggest news of the week. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.